Today, the sermon comes from Revelation 10, using verses 8 through 11. I entitle it, The Little Book. Here's verses 8 through 11. And a voice which I heard from heaven, I heard it again speaking with me and saying, Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea, upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, saying unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it, and it shall be a bitter, belly bitter, but in thy mouth it will be as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and he ate it, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. When I ate it, my belly was made bitter. And they said unto me, Thou prophesiest again over many people and nations and tongues and kings. Well, in the 10th chapter of Revelation, I want to review the first 7 verses. It tells us there in John 1 through 7 that he saw a mighty angel coming out of heaven. He was arrayed with a cloud, had a rainbow over his head, his face shone as sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. But in his right hand, he had a little book that was open, and says wide open. Now, a little book we've mentioned 11 times in 11 verses, 1 through 11. His voice was a lion when it roared, and it sounded off 7 thunders under their voices. John started writing down what the 7 thunders said. But a voice from heaven told him to seal it and write not what the 7 thunders uttered. Now see, God was doing something. He was protecting his revelation by not letting John tell people what the 7 thunders were doing or said to him. Nobody can really honestly say, I understand and understand all of the book of Revelation. God was protecting us, an old woman, to have all the information. We have some information that we know is accurate, like the first 3 chapters of the letters to the 7 churches, last 2-3 chapters on the judgment day. But in between there, there's nothing but imagery and metaphors, all kind of things that people just have to guess what it is. And so he put the 7 thunders there to stop anybody from making any proclaims. But a lot of people do, and we believe them. I don't, but I know what the Bible says. But then the angel put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. And with his right hand he lifted up and he swore that time should no longer be. Then the voice that John heard from heaven told him to go to the angel and tell him to give you the little book. And that's where my verses 8 through 11 pick up. John went and told him, and the angel told him to take it and eat it. And the eating would be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his mouth. That was in verses 8. So, this is the story of a little book. Indeed, this little book has to be the New Testament. I mean, you may not agree with me from a prophetic standpoint, but you have to agree that things that we all say about this little book will be true because it all comes from God's Word. Think about this. One thing in the little book in heaven of angel was brought down from heaven. That is the origin of the Word of God. God wrote it. Now, it's from heaven. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, holy men spake from old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Then the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to Timothy the second time, in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for rebuking and so forth. The New Testament is a heaven-sent book. It's the only book ever given to men that the authentic and only revelation of Jesus, and a book that tells us what God says we must do to go to heaven. And if we don't do those things He says to go, about staying away from denominations and things that's against the Bible, spiritual adultery. You can't get to heaven. And to that little book was opened. And New Testament's little book. You realize, from like American Bible Society and other places, you can buy some of these copies for 35, 40 cents in a little thin paperback. Some are so small they put them on a necklace. It's so small it can be comfortably carried in the front shirt pocket. The New Testament is indeed a little book. But note also how a little book is opened. Remember what the angel was doing? He was standing. Open on the land and the sea. Remember, the angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Has there ever been a book like the New Testament that's been opened everywhere? Open on all the lands and the sea? No book can compare with the Bible when you consider that it was translated into hundreds of languages and many hundreds of dialects. It's an open book. Think again how the little book was open, regardless of the lifestyle of the people. Now, at the end of chapter 9, previous chapter, we are told that men repented not of their fornication, murders, adulteries, sorceries, and thefts. No matter what the lifestyle of people will be, in the last days, the little book will always be open. And, of course, we've been living in the last days since Jesus died on the cross. We've been in the last days now since A.D. whatever, A.D. 33 area, depends on how you start his birthday, when he's crucified. That's how long we've been in the last days. All the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross. But the New Testament is open and preached today as before in this very, very, very mixed up, let's call it permissive, world. When the angel stands with one foot on his sea and one on the earth, the book is still open. And then he declares what we read, my word, he declares that time shall be no more. And what Jesus says in Matthew 24:35, I started to quote it, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. How about Peter in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 24 through 25? All flesh is grass, and the pride thereof is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of God abideth forever. And this is the word of God, good tidings, that's being preached unto you. Now, in these verses 8 through 11, there's three things John tells us about this little book, and that's really what I want to get to preach about and challenge you with. But note what the voice from heaven told John. Take the book. And John told the angel, give me the book. And the angel told John, eat the book. Take the book, eat the book, give me the book. Let's look at those one at a time. Take the book. That's the voice John heard from heaven. Heard again saying unto him that he should go and take the book and open it in his hand of the angel who stands on the earth and the sea. That's a good personal advice for every one of us. Go and take the book. Take the Bible, the New Testament. Only way you ever get to find time for the book is to take it. The devil will be so harder mess up your life that you'll not have time for the book. But you, so you take it and you do it anyhow. Remember the song that says, take time to be holy? Well, we got to take that little book to the pulpit. Take it there. And notice how the apostles took the book into the pulpit. The book of Acts is a book of preaching, considering the first gospel sermon by Apostle Peter was in the second chapter of Acts. But here's some facts. It took 25 verses to record that sermon. But Peter quoted 13 of the scriptures in those verses. 13 of those verses were Peter quoting scripture. See, quoting scripture is apostolic. Half of the sermon with Scripture. And my sermon today is no exception. The seventh chapter of the book of Acts has the sermon of Stephen. That sermon was 53 verses. And of the 53 verses, 50 of them is where Stephen is using Scripture. Well, he may not have quoted some verbatim in large, he did paraphrase it and told the whole scriptural story. He only had three verses of his own preaching. That's why preachers got to learn to take the New Testament to the pulpit. The apostles and the early preachers, they used the book when they preached. Take it to those who are still walking in darkness. You know, most of our preachers, they spend most of their preaching time. We preach them to the saved. We need to take it to the lost. We need to take the book out to the world because the lunatics, they're running that crazy asylum called the world. But now consider what John told the angel. He said, give me the book. He went to the angel who had the little book open in his hand and said, give me the book. That's the wish of some people who are starting for the Word of God. They may not say that, but that's why they won't ask you for the works of the philosophers, like Aristotle or any of those philosophers. There's many people that are hungering for the Word. They don't know it until somebody starts telling them. A preacher tells the story of his life. He tells us about his dad gave him the Bible at a very early age. And as a child, he had him read it aloud out of the family-sized Bible where he followed him along in another Bible. As a preacher was reading that whole Bible through as a child, the stories were pressed into his mind. Preacher remembered walking down an alley one time and he saw a neighbor boy in the neighborhood in his yard. He called to him and said over the fence, hey, do you know the names of the 12 sons of Jacob? And the boy said he didn't. Well, he probably thought Jacob was one of the neighbors. So the preacher recited them to him, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, the preacher said he knew those names of their child. And some might say that's too much to expect from a child. But just ask the average child to name some of the characters from Star Wars or their favorite Disney characters. They have no problem. And the preacher said, as I look back on it, I realize as a child, I was very interested in Star Wars before it became very popular. He said he learned from Revelation 12 about the great red dragon cast out of heaven, and he took one third of the stars with him. Now those are the stars, as some of them, which sang together and shouted for joy when God laid the foundation of the earth. Those stars, as in Jude 6 says, tells us are now kept in the chains of darkness into the judgment of the great day. And now that real Star Wars story is there. That's the real Star Wars story. You know, a well-known journalist years ago said that he never went to church service because no man can speak often as a preacher does and have anything important to say. And there's some truth to this. Look at the comedians. They can't speak to the same audience week after week after week and have anything interesting to say on their own book. These people have what they call writers. And these writers write with their material for them. And without the writers, they could not succeed. Yet, a preacher speaking to the same people week after week after week after week, sometimes three times, four times a week, depends on how big a congregation, there's no way he can do it unless he has the writers, a ghostwriter, and that ghostwriter is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the author of the Word of God. When a preacher uses the Bible, no matter how many times he speaks to the same people each week, he'll have something important to say. I've heard it many times, a true story many years ago from preachers, and I guess it really needs to be repeated too. Sir Walter Scott, a great historian, novelist, on his deathbed, called for someone to bring him the book. And they said to him, Walter, Sir Walter, which book? He said, there's only one book. Bring me the book, the Bible. Some may note that we spend time on some of the social ills, or we don't really spend much time, I won't put it that way, on some of the social ills of the day, racism, abortion, drugs, drunkenness, same-sex marriage, and others. The reason for this is because those are only the limbs on the devil's sin tree. See, actually, the root of all those problems I just recited comes from lust, envy, hatred, jealousy, greed, selfishness, and pride. And see, remember the gospel. The gospel of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the only thing that can cut their roots in the sin tree. Even one missionary states in some parts of India that there's an average of 5 rats in every home. The rats eat 20% of the grain and cannot be killed because the way they believe, the dead come back in form of another animals. To kill a rat would mean they might be killing a relative. So the starving of these folks is a spiritual problem. So we have so many missionaries going to India. Even Jeff Hostetter's oldest daughter, she's in India while he's in Ghana. If you can stand with a native and look at the cow grazing on the hillside, you might think about, how many rib roasts I could get out of that, or ribeye steaks from that old cow. How many hamburgers could it make? How many steaks could it obtain? I don't know. But you know, a native or Indian, there was very hollow eyes, skeleton body, would say it's a holy cow. Take the book, eat it, and go preach it. Now, thirdly, they eat a book. Eat the book, the angel told him. Angel had a little book open in his hand. He gave it to John with these instructions. Take it and eat it. He did not say read it. He said eat it. When you eat it, it will be as sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. See, John did tell us, as he told, he ate the little book. It was sweet in his mouth. It tasted better than any kind of shortcake he could ever have eaten. Maybe even better than any chocolate. I'm a chocoholic, and that would really be good to ever enjoy. Sweet in his mouth, as soon as he ate it, had a bad case of heartburn, indigestion. It has been bitter in his belly. Now, John's experience actually is duplicated many times today. You know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, part of his sermon? If you have tasted the Lord is gracious on the day of Pentecost, the day church was born, the sermon that got day accused the audience of killing the Lord. That accusation can be repeated to any audience living in the world today. We all had a hand in the crucifixion. I mentioned that last week. Christ died for our sins. In their agony of conviction, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" See, what a taste, sweet taste, that announcement remedy had to make as they tasted that the Lord was gracious. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That would be a sweet taste. Now, the preacher today knows that to preach that message and some of the things the Bible teaches about how to live would be a bitter experience. People don't want to hear it. So the preacher, he just gets up there and preaches out or burps out a sour message, a message full of vile compromise and false teaching. Isaiah has a statement, though, in Isaiah 30:8-10, that speaks to this situation. 8-10 says this in Isaiah 30. Now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it might be a time to come forever and ever, that this a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to their seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesize not unto us the right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesize deceits. The message today must be a smooth message. Modern preacher must be inspirational. Never use any part of the Word of God like Paul would say, rebuke or rebuke, repent, as Peter says. Get your name on the book of life and keep it there by serving the Lord. or do anything that might imply the need for repentance. Make it smooth. But Isaiah again reminds me of a verse in Isaiah 58. It's just one verse here that I want to repeat. It goes something like this. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice to the trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. So think about today's preaching. The preaching of the gospel today may be a bittersweet experience. It is a true, the message may be sweet, but translating message into a saving message for the lost has embittered many a servant of God. As John stood there in the bitter valley, he got no relief for his heartburn. He was told to preach anyway. They told him, remember what it said in the last verse? Thou must prophesy again over many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And the same goes for us. We got to take the book, give the book, eat the book by studying it, know it, memorize it. Tell people why you had to be saved and learn to quote some of the scriptures or turn to them. But listen to this wonderful little poem, and I'm going to close with it. Wonderful book called the Bible, guide of my feet day by day. Guide book to lead me to heaven, lamp of my feet all of my day. Way. First the Old Testament scriptures to how the prophets foretold how Jesus would come to redeem us. That story never grows old. Written in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us too how Jesus came to redeem us and give us all life anew. Read the plan of salvation. Acts of the Apostles will show. It is a book of conversions. Read it now, you will know. 21 letters will follow us all how we live. Keep showing us all how to live. Adding to the faith, Christian virtue, faithfulness, then we can give. Last of all, revelation, telling of heaven so fair. How we'll meet the dear Savior together, his heaven to share. So open the Bible and read it. Ponder its message so true. So you'll find the great plan of salvation, why Jesus died for you. Let us close in prayer.